I think from what I've heard, she's quite pure and very, very honest, and she has a lot of integrity.
She's a great role model for us in the 21st century.
Looking at her role as a daughter, a daughter-in-law, a wife, that is something that I aspire to be. And the stories around Sita is what I would look to aspire to for my daily lifestyle.
For some young Hindu women today, it's obvious that Sita's story still has a huge significance. In the Ramayana, her marriage is all about testing her loyalty, even though it was clearly love at first sight for her and Rama.
Come away from the balcony. For all you know, those two are just yops.
Not with a face as divine as his.
See this scarf?
What are you doing?
Tempting fate.
A scarf, pink, suits you. It came from above us.
There, the upper balcony window. Do you see?
Stop the truck.
Do you see her? She's staring at me.
Well, don't stare back.
I've never seen eyes like hers. Like a gazelle. And that red mouth upturned like a tulip.
Brother, please, talk sense. A random girl on a balcony.
This one's special.
I'm joined by Anne Ballone, who wrote a version of the Ramayana in 2010 for this very radio station, Radio 4. Amber, can I first ask you your cultural background, religious background?
My parents are Muslim, they're Kashmiri, and I was born in this country, brought up, so I had no connection other than the stories I'd heard through friends about the Ramayana, you know. So when I was approached, I was a little bit nervous. What do I know? What can I bring to it? And I talked to friends who were Hindu, you know, and who had that history and had heard those stories. And they were the ones who sort of reassured me, said, no, you have to go for it.
My background's Sikh, and there is a Sikh version.
Yes.
Because, you know, it exists in many different languages and many for many different faiths.
Yes, and many different forms. Like, there are many Ramayanas, someone said to me, you know, and I think that's really true for me. When I read it, it really resonated with me, you know, and it was a massive text, you know, rich, really sort of heightened language. But I think the values, the themes are very universal and are very modern, very contemporary as well.
There are many daughters and many wives. What does it instruct us about being a good woman?
Not being sort of versed in it from when I was a child, not hearing these stories, I was a little bit reluctant to sort of make judgments. But at the same time, at the time when the Ramayana was being told or written, Hindustan, that whole area, you know, encapsulates all of us. So there's things that I just thought, this is really difficult, you know, Sita's level of self-sacrifice. But I also read other things in that. She reproaches Rama, you know, she's very strong. She very much asserts her own identity. Kekayi does that, Dasarath's wife, you know. Rama's mother-in-law does that, you know. There's a lot of strength in those women as well.
In this scene, Rama is about to be exiled for 14 years and he assumes he will be going by himself. And what of Sita? Rama had assumed she'd remain dwelling in silk. Then there she was, in the courtyard, stripped from fancy face paints and jewels, and saying to Rama, "This bark cloth is fitting for the rains. It shall be my raiment of renouncement. Dress down Sita, set for the rocky ride. Rama amorous for his warrior fellow."
My name is Shefali Davda and I'm a part of City Hindus Network. She left for 14 years in exile and not only showed loyalty but also brought out the strength in her good man. And I think in every good man, behind all of that is a good woman.
My name is Janvi Kotecha. I think Sita sacrificed a lot during her life. Like when she went to the forest with Rama, she didn't have to go. But being the loyal wife that she was, she went along.
I'm at the Avanti House Free School, which is a secondary school. It's only been going for a couple of years. There are only year 7 and 8 students here. And it's set in the beautiful, idyllic countryside of Stanmore, which is northwest London. And it's a Hindu faith school. Do you think that relationship's equal between Rama and Sita, or is it more that she's following him and she must do what he has to do?
No, I think that Rama didn't want her to come with him to the forest, not because he didn't like her, but because he didn't want her to be harmed or in trouble. And sometimes they both had to give up and sacrifice things for not personal benefit, but for their kingdom. Towards the end of the Ramayana, Rama has to banish Sita from the kingdom because the villagers don't like her. And despite how much he loves her, he faced a very, very tough time, and so did Sita. But she still accepted, and she didn't feel any less of Ram. This just proves that both of them are very loyal to each other and just very inspirational.
That banishment was all about preserving honour, Rama's family honour. Sita was totally committed to this role. Even after she was kidnapped by the demon Ravana, she still refused to be rescued by Hanuman the monkey, who got to her first, before Rama and his army could. Even as you say, Hanuman, you could try to rescue me now, and I bless you for it. But in our customs, no one else must rescue me. Only Rama himself, with or without his army, must rescue me. One of the things I was trying to do with my version of Ramayana was to almost try to explain the ways of the East to a Western audience. Mm. And I think one of the issues was my Western friends have no understanding of what it means to live by a code of honour or to experience shame or to use that language.
I'm talking to Kuljit Bamra. He's a well-known musician and composer who wrote a modern soundtrack for Ramayana.
After Sita's been staying in Ravana's palace for some time and Rama wins her back, he insists that she go through some sort of trial through fire.
Very strange, you know, that he spends all that energy and time rescuing her so that he can put her through a test. I mean, the test was one of purity, wasn't it? Which I suppose on a basic level means she hasn't been with Ravana. But I think you're right, that whole idea of the Indian wife being sort of saintly in a way. And I suppose that's how I've been brought up to think about Sita, as being someone who's saintly, beautiful.
Yeah, because she is the kind of repository of honour of the family name, isn't she? Mm. And if she defiles that name in any way, the whole family is cast into shame, aren't they?
Exactly.
Dishonoured. Which is probably still a topical issue now.
Yeah, it's definitely
a topical. In a sense, that story holds up the mirror to us now.
It's one of these sort of building blocks that holds especially Indian and Eastern families together, and these beliefs that are passed down. I suppose maybe I'm a bit of a rebel, but I do question whether it's something that's useful right now.
Sita is about to go through her fire trial with everybody watching. Liquid fire become the flooding waters of time neath her feet. And every bystander, a witness, immolation's accomplice, before the Lord's will. So it is with the vessel, the bark of our being, which, in the very act of its own separation from its own flesh, own breath, in the final air of its parting, it hearkens blindly after itself, after just its name even, but cannot retrieve the sound, but cannot retrieve the sound. So it was, in that split, Sita's yarn was virtually spun.
I think that when Ram had to do this, he must have felt so, so, so bad to have to do this to his wife. And he knows that she's not going to get hurt because she has a boon that she won't get hurt by fire. But yet he feels that she will be hurt emotionally. As king, he has to ask her to prove herself to be a true, loyal wife. And even though she understands that he's only doing this because he has to, he has no choice as king, she knows it, but somewhere deep inside her, I'm sure she must have felt a bit hurt.
It's almost like saying that I'm stronger than you, you know, I can actually tolerate more than you.
As in,
you know.
So the act of her going into fire.
Yeah.
What does that tell us about women? Is she a role model?
The stories that I hear that, you know, in the South Asian sort of communities, the lower social classes in India, is that they say the story is Sita Rama's story. They put Sita's name first. You know, she's the woman that, you know, they kind of look to more than even Rama, you know.
There's a version of the Ramayana which I've read, very interesting, where it didn't need Ram to come and rescue her. She did it all by herself. She defeated Ravana all by herself. I quite like that version, actually.
That's probably the most radical of them.
My name is Pavit Mehta, and I am director of the South Asian Literature Festival in London. If you look at the TV serialisations of the Ramayana, it's very interesting because sometimes you'll find Sita very quiet and timid, and sometimes when she's conversing with Ravan, she, this angry, this very aggressive, this very assertive Sita comes out. And so I'd like to believe she was a bit of both, actually, that she had, you know, the way most women have, all different personalities and characterizations, that Sita was also very much that divine energy, also the obedient daughter, daughter-in-law, etc., but then also was able to stand on her own feet.
I see her as being exceptionally strong. I don't think the idea of sacrifice or self-sacrifice is something that I would support, for example, when sati was practiced.
This is widows.
Widows, yeah, going into the sort of pyre and their husbands pass away. I think it says a lot about society's view of women rather than, you know, women wanting that for themselves necessarily. But I think from where this comes, you know, it's almost like I see as her being this unparalleled figure, you know, who just can't be tested almost, you know.
We believe in sacrifice, don't we?
Yeah.
Sort of knows the Northern India. I mean,
yes,
I remember hearing my mum when I was younger saying that she would willingly fall upon a pyre if it was the custom to do so.
Yeah.
My father passed away, and I think she would have probably enjoyed that. That's my father's still alive, but she would have enjoyed the valour or the, you know, the glamour it would have given her.
Yes.
That she was prepared to endure that sacrifice.
Yes.
I must admit that this is one area where I have still got to come to an understanding of this text. You know, I'm sure it's going to take me another 60 years if I live that long.
Jitendra Varma, founder and director of Tara Arts. He's adapted the Ramayana for stage.
Clearly, this is very much a male text. It's from that kind of point of view. I understand that Sita is the female principle in a kind of cosmological sense. All of that is fine. But I still find that moment of Rama at the time when Ravana is killed, faced with Sita, he has to test her loyalty, an extremely difficult one to comprehend. And I don't think it's just to do with the modern age. I think that throughout the eras, part of the reason why the Ramayana has endured over the centuries is because we've been baffled by this.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that this intense love affair could ring such a sour note at the very moment when you were expecting a conclusion of the story? And perhaps the only thing that I can sort of point to is a word which is Leela. That sense of the play of the universe, this playfulness. And what the poet has done is to snatch that moment of joy from us and say, now hang on a minute, the story doesn't end quite that way. And that this is a constant play that we will have to endure throughout our lives in terms of our relationships with our partners.
Mm. What about in the 21st century, more sociological sense, is a story about Sita being the repository of honour and the vessel, the container of the family name, and she has to save the face of the family?
Actually, one could look at it another way and say that, in a way, Sita is a proto-feminist. Look what ultimately she does. That when, right at the end, faced by the fact that Rama wants her back with her children, what does she do? Says, no, thank you. I'm going away. Wonderfully convenient. The earth opens up and she descends into the earth. But she does not return to Rama. Another way, therefore, of looking at Sita is, wow, this is, you know, a pretty modern view of the woman.